Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, since the fall of man, we read about that in the book of Genesis, we know that there has been a rebellion and the world turned upside down. You can see it in man's desire to be his own king, his own God, his own ruler, and to not be one who submits to authority. And you see the rebellion that goes on even in the country in which we live, and all the uprising, and those that want to do what's right in their own eyes. We see this. It's touching home to us now. This is not something new. This has gone on since the fall, and hence the need for governing authorities. There is a need, and it's a mercy of God to give governing authorities in this world to curb the sinful rebellion of mankind. And so recognize that from the fall, this is something that is important in the life of humanity. This is what we read in a couple of places so that you realize that it's not just here that Peter speaks about this. It's spoken of in the Old Covenant, spoken of in the New Covenant. Just want to lift out a few verses. Romans 13, Paul says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil." And then we also read in Titus chapter 3, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men." So we read that this morning, that we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance, every institution of man for the Lord's sake. We are to be a people that is under authority. We are under authority, and we are to submit to that authority. And oftentimes, submission is something that we give when somebody bests us. So when you remember as a kid wrestling maybe with a family member or a friend, and when you were pinned to the ground is when you submitted. You wouldn't submit unless you were bested by that individual. This is not what Peter is talking about. This is not what Paul speaks of in Romans 13. That is not what Paul refers to in Titus chapter 3. It is not what is referred to in the Old Covenant, book of Deuteronomy and 1 Kings, and how we are to be a people under authority, submitting willingly, putting ourselves up under that authority. So the fifth commandment, we read that this morning. Honor your father and your mother and all that are in authority over me is what the essence of the commandment is. This is the explanation given in the Heidelberg Catechism. All who are in authority over me, I am to be in submission to them. This may mean in the school, submitting to the teachers, the principal. This may mean in a state, submitting to a governor. This may be in a country, submitting to a president. It may be in a local city ordinance. It may be simply submitting to the law enforcement officer that pulls you over for breaking the law. We are to be a people that is in submission. And there is always this tension, beloved. We are those that are pilgrims and sojourners in this world in which we live. So there is always going to be tension. There are going to be laws and things that we don't like. There are going to be regulations that are given that we are not going to want to submit to. There are going to be things that we think are foolish and ignorant and stupid. And because of that, we don't want to submit to it. But this is a call to be in submission. Work for reform, yes, but be in submission. There is only one legitimate time that we are not to be in submission to the governing authorities. And the principle is given in both Acts 4 and 5. Whenever the governing authorities demand us to do something contrary to Scripture, we do not submit. Whenever the authorities command us not to do what God commands us to do, we do not submit. We ought to obey God rather than men. But insofar as men's ordinances, institutions, laws do not cause me to sin, I am to be in subjection to them. Now that's a question that you need to continue to ask. You know, we've been through the mask thing within our country, in our area. And there are those of you who think that it's a good thing. And there are those of you who think that it's a foolish thing. There's a disagreement on it. And there are certain organizations who have demanded that if you're going to come into their establishment, you must wear a mask. And there have been some of you that have argued and lamented and thrown a fit about it. And you've said something to me, and I've responded to you in this way. Do they have the right to make that ordinance that you cannot come into their establishment unless you wear a mask? Do they have that right? Yes. They have the right to do it. Used to be back in, I don't know, 70s or 80s, no shirt, no shoes, no service. They had the right not to serve you. So, people would give a big lament about this, and my comment was, go somewhere else. Go somewhere where they don't require you to wear a mask. Because it doesn't cause you to sin to wear a mask. You may not like it. I don't like it. But it doesn't cause me to sin. It's not a sinful activity that I have to wear a mask. So I need to ask those questions about all the different ordinances of man so that I might serve my God faithfully. There are things that the government says that we must do or must not do that are sinful. There are certain things that the government doesn't impose that are sinful. I couldn't get drunk in my own home. I'm not going to get arrested for that. Unless I start causing a scene and the police come, and then as soon as they come and you're drunk, you're going to mouth off and you're going to get hooked up and to jail you go. But ordinarily, somebody could get drunk in their own home and they're not going to be arrested. It's not against the law to do that. But it's sinful. I could weigh 500 pounds and not get out of my house because I've ate so many pizzas that I could no longer move. I'm not going to get arrested for it. It's a sin. You can have an abortion, ladies. You're not going to get arrested for it. Sin. So be careful that just because the government sanctions something, that you realize that they may be sanctioning sinful activity. Be a thinking person as you reason through the scriptures with regards to these things. But there was this movement at one point back in the 70s and 80s, a theonomic movement, and there were many that were saying you can't have a social security card, you can't have a driver's license. And my question was, how does that make me sin? You know, the government's going to wiretap you. Who cares? I didn't care less if they hear my conversations. Maybe they'll hear about Jesus in the conversation. You think that just started? You think people wiretapping, listening to conversations? We used to have that when the phones, remember the party lines? Your neighbor's on the phone and you're getting an earful of your neighbor. Realize there are things that are not sinful that we need to submit to. And this is what Peter says here. Notice in our text. Speaking about, remember, let me take you back now to the beginning of this epistle where Peter is bringing encouragement to the people of God. He is bringing encouragement to weary Christians, weary sojourners, weary travelers, weary pilgrims in this fallen, sin-cursed world. And an aspect of that encouragement is teaching them how to respond to the governing authorities that be. And Peter says, therefore. What does the therefore teach us? To go back to what was previously written. And he says, as pilgrims and sojourners, abstain from fleshly lusts, and having your conduct honorable. Be honorable in the way that you live your lives among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God on the day of visitation. The day of visitation, the day that the Lord comes. Often in the Old Testament it speaks to the day of the Lord, that day of visitation, a day of redemption. So recognize by your behavior, your good behavior, that it may be something that somebody thinks about of why do they do that, inquires of you why you behave in such way, and you say, because the Lord says. It may be an occasion for salvation in your actions, your behavior. You ever go back and pay for something that somebody didn't charge you for? Or were you one that says, wow, isn't the providence of God wondrous? You know that it's sin that you walked out of that store and didn't pay for that item. And you cannot say then, isn't God's providence wondrous? Yes, it is. But His providence is not for you then enabling to sin. And you go back and you pay. And the store clerk, person at the restaurant, they're blown away by why you would do that. And you respond, well, the Lord says not to steal. And it'd be stealing if I didn't pay for this goods. And that may be an occasion, beloved, and you're honorable behavior, there may be a day of visitation of the Lord. So Peter says, therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. You're striving now to show yourself honorable by the way that you live your life. And he says, submit to every ordinance, every institution of man. The word submit, the Greek term hupotasso, it's a military term. It's a term which means that you put yourself up under the authority of another. So it is in the military. You put yourself up under rank. You know your place. That's what you're to do. You put yourself up under the authority. And notice yourselves. Each one of you is to do this. Now, what's interesting is that you'll often hear people talk about Romans 13 as if it didn't apply for today. But when Paul writes it, he writes it in the present tense, which means perpetual. It's a continual, habitual obedience of the people of God. Until the Lord of the church returns, we are to be constantly observing the present tense imperatives of Scripture. So we are to obey the governing authorities. Submit yourselves to every ordinance, every pas, each and every one of them. So, as I explained, every ordinance that does not cause you to sin, be in submission. And the ordinance is the institutions, creations of men. So, man creates certain rules and regulations. And why do they do that? They do that, and you do that in your home. You do it in the school environment. You do it in an organization. What for? To keep people under subjection. So that people aren't just doing whatever they please and causing all kinds of chaos in these places. Now, beloved, you do this in your home. And we're different in each home, but you have rules and regulations. You know, there is a certain etiquette to holding the refrigerator door open. And all of you mothers know it. And so when your kid opens up the refrigerator and stands there and looks and looks and looks, you say, shut the door. I'm not cooling the house with the refrigerator. So there's that. There's jumping on the couches and the furniture. We don't do that in our house. If you have pets, probably not on the dinner table. You see, you establish those in your families. Why? It so there is not chaos. Things just going crazy within your home. Sometimes you mothers, you know, you feel like that. It's gone crazy like a zoo in here. But you establish things for that purpose. Well, so it is in human society. It's needed. Now let me just take one that probably most of us don't like, but we need to obey it. The speed limit. Now, if I ask for a show of hands, I'm sure there were a number of you would raise your hands that you don't like speed limits. You know why you don't like speed limit? Because the rebellion's still in our hearts. We don't like people telling us how fast we can drive in our car. Let's remove the speed signs. What happens? It's the Autobahn. You will drive as fast as you deem fit. And you will be a danger to others. And can you imagine? Can you imagine those 14-year-old kids getting their driver's license on the gravel, driving as they see fit? Do you know how many people would die? Do you know how much mayhem there would be on our city streets and highways, the interstates? There needs to be a legitimate curbing of the rebellion that is in man's heart. Now, it sometimes it's foolish. I'll admit it. It's 80 miles an hour in South Dakota, and as soon as you step into Iowa, it's 55. You feel like you're Fred Flintstone in that thing as you're going 55 miles an hour. It's like you're barely moving. And I don't understand that. Why 80 to 55 against two states that are right next to one another? If you're going to drive in Iowa, and you're going to drive on county roads, you're going to go 55 or you're going to get ticketed. That's it. If you don't want to go to 55, hey, don't come to Iowa. It's simple, right? But there is the ordinance. And there are lots of such. And Peter says, we show ourselves honorable in the sight of God for the Lord's sake. For God's glory. We show ourselves model citizens. Beloved, there has been a breakdown in the family. It has been coming. It's been coming a long time. You started really seeing it in the 60s. And then it just continues to come in like a flood. Talking to somebody the other day about when I was in school. And most of you know, I got paddled a couple times in school. So I was in the public school, and at the time, the teachers had full reign to discipline the students. Now, what I did not do was during football season, so I couldn't take a detention, took the swats, took my licks, and what I did not do is go home and tell my parents. Because I knew as soon as I did, I'd get it from my mom, and then I'd get it from my dad. So, mum's the word. I kept my mouth shut. I never said a word. Today, if your kid was spanked in school and probably deserved it, you would be down there suing the school district. What happened? And then we scratch our head and wonder why all these thugs in the United States doing the things that they're doing. Who's ruling in the home? I don't think it's the parents anymore. I think it's predominantly in homes, the kids are the ones that are in control. So, Peter is saying, we, as those who are the redeemed of the Lord, are to show ourselves honorable for the Lord's sake. It demonstrates, doesn't it? It demonstrates that we're faithful to the Lord, that we are those under submission, that God calls us to this, and so we do it. Simple question for you, beloved. How are you doing with the laws that are given that you may disagree with, but it doesn't cause you to sin to observe them? It actually is honorable to the Lord that you do. Speed signs, seatbelt laws, all the other little things. I can't put a deck on the front of my house because my house is not 40 feet from the middle of the road. Okay. Do I like that? No. Do I think that's foolish? Yes. Is it needed? Yeah, because I don't want my neighbor putting a chicken coop in his backyard. Submit. Put yourself up under submission. You have to control yourself. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. Control yourself and submit to the governing authorities insofar as they do not cause you to sin. This is honorable, and we do so for the Lord's sake. That's the motive, right? For the Lord's sake. The command is submit, and we do it that God would be honored and praised. For the Lord's sake. For the Lord's honor. For the Lord's glory. For the Lord's praise. For the Lord's esteem. That we would be model citizens in this world. Is there such a thing as a peaceful protest? Yes. But be careful with this, because ordinarily peaceful protests go into mob rule and all kinds of foolishness comes out of that. It only takes one idiot in the crowd to throw the brick. And then you'll see scores of idiots following along with them. Be careful about peaceful protests. Because ordinarily, because of the sin which is still in our heart, that rebellion, they don't stay peaceful long. As a matter of fact, I don't remember really ever seeing a peaceful protest that somebody didn't get arrested. Why? Because it didn't remain peaceful. So, we do this for the Lord's sake, for the Lord's glory, whether to the King Supreme. Now, the king, what he speaks about there in the ancient world, he had kings. This is the highest authority, humanly speaking. It's the highest one in position of authority. So whether it's the king who demands it, in our parlance it would be the president, the high authority of the president within the United States. All right, so we submit to the president. We submit to the ordinances, to the things that are given. And then he says, or to governors. Now, the governor is a lesser authority. It's one who may be an emissary sent by the king to deliver a message to the people. We're to obey that authority. So we have that in the United States. We have governors of states. We have the president of the United States. We have the local government. We have the federal government. We have lots of checks and balances that go on within our United States. It's a good thing. But what Peter is saying here is, whether it's a higher authority or a lesser authority sent by the higher authority, you're in submission. So you don't say, unless the president tells me, I'm not going to do it. No, if it's delivered by the governor, the local official, the mayor, there's certain things that keep men curbed in their sin, and it keeps things from being chaotic. So this is what Peter is saying. As to those sent by him, notice the governor is one who is sent by the king, and he is sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Government has two purposes. Punishment and praise. Here's a breakdown within our judicial system. The judicial system at this point, are you going to have problems? Yes. Are you going to have a few bad cops? Yes. Are you going to have a few bad ministers? Yes. Are you going to have a few bad doctors? Yes. Are you going to have a few bad church members? Yes. It's not a perfect system. But an imperfect system is better than no system at all, because it does keep men in check. So here, I think, is a problem that we have within our society. The punishment and praise. Let's talk about the punishment. Paul speaks of the rulers, the civil rulers, as ministers of God in the civil realm, among men, among the public square. In other words, they are to keep the peace, but also to create fear. If you want to be unafraid, Paul says, well, then do what the law says. And we all know this. You get on the highway, and you're going along at a good clip, and you know that you're going over the speed limit. You're looking in your mirrors, your rear view mirror, you're looking all around, looking for where's the cop going to hide? Is he going to be around that corner? And you're sweating and you're nervous. You want to be unafraid? You want to be not nervous? Obey the speed sign. But he says that he does not bear the sword in vain. Here I think is the problem. The way that our country is going in lawlessness, that for the most part, law enforcement officers who bear the sword have been shackled. So that men are not afraid to do these things. They are taunting law enforcement so that they can get lawsuits. And stupid us, we pay them. And what does that do? It only perpetuates more foolishness and more shackling of those that bear the sword, and they shouldn't be doing it in vain. What does that mean? You draw a gun, you ought to be shot and killed. You forfeit your life if you draw a gun on a peace officer. That's it. End of story. It doesn't go to the Supreme Court. There's no crying and whining. You had no regard for the authorities, which are from God, and you forfeited your life. You want to not forfeit your life? Don't pull a gun on a police officer. You shackle up the cops, and you are going to have anarchy in this country. And that's what you're seeing. What is being done? All these liberal, bleeding heart Democrats that cry and whine about everything are doing nothing but letting this chaos go on. Why? For what reason? For what purpose? I grew up in the 60s, and in the 60s, growing up in Detroit, we had the Detroit riots. It didn't go on very long because the National Guard came in and the governor declared martial law. You know what martial law is? If you are out after dark, you're shot on sight. No questions asked. Everybody knows the rules. Push the envelope, you lose your life. And then the principle given in the Old Testament is that the rest will hear and fear. It's a deterrent. It is a deterrent. You know, don't get Mr. Smith in class because he'll spank your rear end if you get out of line. Everybody's careful when they're in Mr. Smith's class because they know he doesn't play the game. And we're a country that plays this game, and you're seeing more and more foolishness rise up. Should not be from us. We should be those model citizens who are supporting those whom God has instituted to bear the sword for the punishment of evildoers. You ought to be afraid if you're breaking the law. You ought to be afraid of the governing authorities because they're coming. And you draw a gun, you ought to be afraid of losing your life. And it ought to be none other, because this is what God has ordained to have peace and civility in the land we live. That we don't have it is because the cops have been shackled in lawsuits, and cops get killed, not even being able to draw their gun. Foolishness. Foolishness of men. And it also ought to be for the praise of those who do good. I find it interesting and ironic that, as I mentioned last Lord's Day, Grace Community Church in California has been evicted from the parking lot that they have used for over 45 years and have paid an exorbitant rate of like $8,300 a month to be able to use that parking lot. I find it ironic that the same government that is now evicting them from their parking lot is the one that has awarded them many numerous awards as being model citizens in the community and all the things that they have done. But that's what he speaks about here. It's the praise of those who do good. Those that are doing the right thing. The governing authorities ought to establish that rapport with the people. Thank you for obeying the law. Thank you for being good citizens. So Peter says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you might put to silence ignorant and foolish men." Ignorant men. Men not ignorant of the truth, but know the truth and are hardened in rebellion against it. And will not. We see them in our country. So this good behavior of ours shuts their mouths. They're foolish men. They're absolutely foolish. The fool spoken of in the scriptures is one who doesn't have knowledge, but has the knowledge and doesn't do it. It's an immorality is what a fool is in scripture. He's an immoral person. He is a rebellious lawbreaker. That is a fool. To know certain things that need to be done and don't do it, you're an idiot. You're a moron. It's moronic. Moros is the Greek term. Moronic. You're morons. If you know what to do and you don't do it, it's moronic. It's foolish. It's ignorant. It's immoral. And you'll suffer consequences. So let's stop here and ask this question. Beloved, are we striving as the people of God to be good model citizens? You know, we've all seen the fish on the back of the car and a guy passing you going about 100. Is that a good witness for Christ? Hey, look, I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I've pushed the envelope. I've done it too. And a lot of us don't put those bumper stickers on, so we won't be those that are dishonoring the Lord. It's like we're secret servant agents now, right? We can speed all we want. Nobody knows we're a Christian. But it's funny, until I'm on Highway 6 and you're going the speed limit, and then I pass you because I think you're going too slow. Oh, there goes my pastor. We are to be under submission to the governing authorities. How's that working out for you? How's that working out for you kids in your home? And parents, how's it working out for you in instructing your kids? Because that's where it's going to start. If they don't begin at home learning to be under submission to mother and father in the home, then they are not going to learn to be under submission to the governing authorities. If it doesn't start in the home, if it's not curbed in the home, it'll work its way out into the public square. And then you will be embarrassed. That's the Proverbs for you there. That you will be one who is embarrassed by the activity of your child. And you say something like that at times. Boy, you were such an embarrassment what you did on there. You embarrassed me with that. Why? Because you weren't taught that. You weren't instructed that way. You weren't taught to live in that manner. The way you behaved, that was disrespectful. My mom worked in a dental office for 30 years. And she told me a story once of a guy that I went to high school with who came in and had to have some fillings into his teeth. He got his shots. And when he got the shot of Novocaine, he started screaming and yelling. I mean, this is like a grown man now. Screaming and yelling and causing a scene because he was warned that he needs to get the Novocaine shot. And created such an uprising in the dental office that they wouldn't do the work on him. How would you, as a parent, how would you respond if you had a kid like that? Would that not be an embarrassment to you? Would you not shake your head? Would you not be saddened by that behavior? And yet, when you really look back at it, it's our fault, isn't it? That we weren't those that were diligent to discipline in the home so that we would have model citizens as children. That's what Peter is saying. God has caused us to be free. We're free from condemnation. We're free from the guilt and the penalty of sin. We are free from the restrictions of the sins of this world. We are free from the lust of the eyes of the flesh, the pride of life. We are free from the bondage of Satan. We have been freed in Jesus Christ, freed up. We have great liberty that God has given to us. Only do not use your liberty as an occasion for sin. Be careful with the liberty that you have that you don't cause other people to stumble. God has given us liberty, but not liberty to disobey the lawful orders of authority given in the public square. And this is what Peter is saying. You use your liberty as slaves of God. And God calls us to get up under authority, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church. Beloved, it's no difference. You rebel in the home, you need to be disciplined. You rebel in the public square, you need to be disciplined. You rebel in the church, you will be disciplined. Make no mistake about it. God has created those fears for blessing upon the people. To be blessed, but also to be one on the straight and narrow. To keep you in accord with the teaching of Scripture. So he concludes and he says, honor all people. How would our country look if this was practiced? Honor all people. It doesn't say most people. It doesn't say some people. It doesn't say the people that you like. It says honor all people. Red, yellow, black, white, brown, doesn't matter. Why do you honor all people? You honor all people because all people are created as God's image bearers. And so this is an imperative, a command for you to continually honor all men, knowing that man was created as God's image bearers. When we dishonor people, beloved, we're dishonoring our God. Peter says, love the brotherhood. Agapao. With as much as you are capable, you are to love the household of faith. Paul writes the same thing in Galatians 6. To do good to all men, but especially, you must have a special affection for those that are of the household of faith, that are in union with Christ and with yourself. You are to love them. You are then to serve them. You are to care for them. You are to provide for them. You are to be concerned about their lives. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes. Yeah, I am my brother's keeper. Cain is the one who said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes, you are, Paul says. We are to look out not only for our own interests, but also the interests of others. Fear God. You see, if you fear God, you're going to honor all people. If you fear God, you're going to love the brotherhood. To fear God means a walk of obedience, a walk of reverence, a walk of awe, a walk of worship. If you fear God, do you fear God? Do you have a familial fear of God, of the God who rescued you, redeemed you, brought you in from bondage to Satan and sin, and brought you to Himself? Do you have a fear of God? Do you love God in that way? You can't say you love God and you hate your brother. Those who love God must love their brother also, 1 John 4. If you don't love your brother, then all your stouting about, hey, I'm a lover of God, is all clanging cymbal. It's empty. It's zero. You are to fear God. If you fear God, it's going to be seen in your bowing to the Lordship of Christ. Lord, what would you have me to do? Not my will, but thy will be done. It's a submission to Him. That's a fear of God. And He says, honor the king. Give reverence. Give obedience to the king, to those that are in authority. What would that look like? You pray for your president? You pray for your governing authorities? Do you pray for your teachers who are in authority over you, students? Do you pray for your pastor and your elder congregation? Do you pray for those that serve in the armed forces? Do you pray for the law enforcement? Do you pray for those that are in roles of authority? That is the call for the people of God. And in this way, we honor the king. We honor the president. We honor the governor. We as a congregation have honored our governor. We have honored our governor because we have adhered to all the stipulations that he gave. Did we like him? No. Sometimes we thought they were foolish? Yes. Did we put the tape up? Did we? Yes. Did you like it? No. I heard a lot of complaints about the tape. I didn't put the tape up. Somebody else did that. But I heard a lot of complaint about the tape. And I understand that. But until we're able, and that's next Lord's Day, We strive to be model citizens, to obey the governing authorities, no matter how difficult it may be, because if we're not, God is going to be dishonored. Look at these rebellious people. They think they can just do whatever they want. And yet God says, obey the institutions of men for the Lord's sake. Beloved, I think we all need to go home after this and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Because we've all been pushing to do our own agenda. And in doing so, it only creates chaos in the civic realm in which we live. Obey the governing authorities. It brings glory to God. Amen. Shall we pray?